Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Psalms Devotional Time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Friday morning as we are going to be taking a look at Psalm 10 today. It's been such beautiful weather all week, and now it's kind of a rainy Friday morning, but that's okay. The rain is a blessing from God, and especially this time of year, you can almost see the ground soaking up that rain and sending up the grass and the trees, putting out the green shoots. Yesterday I was driving, and it was just so beautiful. I saw this tree that had this, you know, that bright green of the fresh buds shooting forth against the blue sky in the background, and turned the corner and there were some white flowering trees against the blue sky background. It's just a beautiful day. Love this time of year. Every season gives us opportunity to see the beauty of God's handiwork in his creation and to give him praise. But today we're going to be looking at a psalm that takes us in a very different direction from that. Rather than thinking about the beauty of God's handiwork in creation, we're going to be thinking today about the evil and the wickedness that people made in God's image do against one another in his world. So it's going to be a sobering and challenging psalm, but it's also a very encouraging reminder to us of who is really and ultimately in control. So let's pray together, and then we'll dig into Psalm 10 together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for waking us up this morning, giving us another day of life. Thank you for the rain that you're sending to water the earth. Thank you, Father, for bringing forth life and fresh green life and flowers and beautiful things this time of year. But Father, we know that we live in a world that is plagued with wickedness. And so Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight into your word today. Write Psalm 10 on our hearts and teach us to meditate on it and to pray it and to trust you in the midst of a wicked world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places. He murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you take note of mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. Love that confident note that closes out this psalm. Begins with an honest question. Why? Twice, why? Why is not a very common question in the Psalms. More common than why is how long, O Lord? But why is still a legitimate question for God's people to ask. And I find that in the Psalms, the psalmist will ask why when he's looking out at the world and seeing the prosperity of the wicked or seeing the bold-faced aggression of wicked evildoers. In his own life, when he's going through suffering or feeling distant from God, the question is more commonly, how long? But we do live in a world where it is very reasonable to ask, why? Why? There are horrible things that happen in our world all the time. I was thinking about this crisis at the southern border and these unaccompanied minors who have been pouring across the border over the past month or more. And Beth was telling me about a particular footage of a night vision camera that caught a picture of somebody dropping a two-year-old and four-year-old over the wall, you know, that 14-foot-high wall at the southern border. Someone scaled it on the other side and dropped from 14 feet onto the ground, a two-year-old and a four-year-old, and left them. And it's just disturbing to live in a world like that. You know, my brother did time in the military serving our country, and those who served in combat roles, particularly over in the Middle East, Afghanistan, and Iraq, can tell horrible stories of things, you know, children having bombs strapped to them and being sent at military forces, because then the military, U.S. military forces, would have to choose between shooting the child or letting them get all the way there, and then the bomb's going to explode and the child's going to die anyway, and they're all going to die too. And what a horribly nightmarish situation to be in, and what a despicably wicked thing for someone to do. I think sometimes Christians fall into this what I would call theological pablum. You know, pablum's like this stuff they used to feed to kids. It was kind of a pasty, oatmeal-y type stuff, and it's, you know, goes down easy, you know, don't have to chew it much, and it has some nutrition, but not a whole lot, and you don't want to live on that like your whole life. And so this, I think that Christians indulge a little bit sometimes in this sort of theological pablum of saying, well, you know, we're all sinners. Of course we're all sinners, right? Everyone is guilty before God. Absolutely everyone is guilty before God. And you shouldn't judge others, okay? Yes, don't judge lest you be judged. And then they sort of take that to say, well, you know, everybody has their reasons for doing what they do, and, you know, who are we to judge? And almost in a sort of a Pollyannish sort of naive way of pretending as if there's not great wickedness in the world, as if there's not a difference between the kind of sin that everyone struggles with and the kind of evil that's in our own hearts, and then the wickedness that's described in Psalm 10. This God-denying and evil-doing wickedness. Is this there's no degrees of sin. There are degrees of sin. The Bible never says all sin is the same. Some sins are more heinous in the eyes of God than others. They are despicable. They are evil. And that's what's being talked about in Psalm 10. So this is the arrogance of the wicked who hotly pursue the poor. There's oppression of the poor. There's exploitation of the poor. There are some 27, 28 million people in the world today, as far as we know, in various forms of bondage and servitude, slavery, basically. Sometimes it's, you know, contracted employment to pay off a debt like indentured servitude, but then they end up being sort of perpetually kept in it. And we have more people being trafficked in the world today for various labor, including sex trafficking, but other things too, child labor of a slave labor nature. We have more of it going on in the world now than ever has been, even though slavery is illegal everywhere in the world. So this is the world we live in. The wicked boasts of the desire of his soul. The one greedy for gain curses and renounces God. It's always a little bit extra frustrating to me when certain people will use the name of God to exploit or extort money from others. You may have gotten the emails, or you may have gotten the phone calls, or you may have seen the people on television. They use the name of God. They use the name of Jesus Christ. They use the gospel as a tool to exploit and extort and extract money from God's people to line their own evil pockets. And in the pride of his face, his thoughts are, there is no God. Or verse 11 says, his thoughts are, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. There's this boasting. There's this thought up in verse 6. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. When I read that verse, I think of Adolf Hitler, who announced the Third Reich. You may know that Hitler's regime in Germany was called the Third Reich. Do you know why? The Reich is the rule, right? And so he was announcing the establishment of a third great empire. The first was the Roman Empire. The second was the Holy Roman Empire. Each of those lasted for about 1,000 years. And now he's saying this will be a third Reich, a German Reich, that will last for 1,000 years. That was his proclamation to the German people. In reality, from the time Hitler took office as chancellor in 1933 to the time he committed suicide in 1945 was a little less than, or about 12 years. 12 years. And the last five of those were fighting in a world war. So the boldness of the arrogance, Mussolini at the same time when he took office, he said he would stop and restart the calendars of Italy with his ascension to power. Wow. So Jesus no longer gets to be the centerpiece of history. It's going to be Mussolini. There are people like this in the world. There are people who just carry out evil in an arrogant, arrogant way. Well, what's our response? How do we respond to that? Do we just wring our hands? Do we just throw up our hands and say, well, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the world we live in. No, we cry out to God. We cry out to God and we trust God that he is going to deal with it. Arise, O Lord, Yahweh. O God, Mighty One, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. We cry out to God. I wonder how often do we watch the news and see something wicked happening and we pray to God about it? Or how often do we just see something wicked happening and we're just outraged? And what do we do with our outrage? Maybe we go on social media and we look for something that we can post or share. Or maybe we talk about it. How often do we turn to God and say, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand? Are you praying against abortion every day? I know I don't pray against abortion as much as I should. It's an evil the likes of which our world has never seen. 60 million plus babies in America legally slaughtered in my lifetime. Since 1980, 1 billion babies legally slaughtered worldwide. And it's all done in quiet. It's all done in secret. It's all done hush-hush. We'll just kill these babies and dispose of them or sell their body parts for money. That's evil. We should be praying against that. Human trafficking is evil. We should be praying against that. The oppression and persecution of God's people in places like Burma, and don't call it Myanmar, it's Burma, is evil, and we should be praying against that. So our hearts should be moved to cry out to God, because that's what the psalmist shows us that we should do. Because God does see. You do see. You do note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. Ultimately, this is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer when we pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And ultimately, what Psalm 10 is a prayer for, and what the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for, is for Jesus to come again. Because when Jesus comes again, he will make a final end to all evil and wickedness. Every bit of it, even that which we struggle with in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds, will all be wiped away. The evildoer, the wicked, the enemies of God will be punished forever, and the children of God, the oppressed, will be rescued forever. And that's the truth. That's the truth, and that's the eternal perspective that we have to keep in mind as we pray and as we live our lives. And I love, again, this final verse. The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. This earth is the land of the Lord, and Jesus will come again and reclaim it in the end. He will. That day is coming. We should pray for justice. We should seek justice. And we should long for that day when justice will come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the King forever. O Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you reign forever. And there is no one who can stay your hand or say to you, what have you done? For you are powerful. You are God Almighty. Oh, Father, hear our prayer for the afflicted, for the oppressed, for those who suffer violence, for those who are victims of evil. Would you please protect them? Would you please deliver them? Would you please raise your hand to turn back evil, to turn back wickedness in this world, Father. And ultimately, Lord Jesus, we long for your appearing, and so we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come and bring your people home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, it's a challenging psalm, right? It's not a feel-good one. But it's one that we need to hear and one that needs to prompt us to pray more and to expect from the Lord more as we pray to him. Hope you're waiting for the Lord Jesus to appear. I'm excited about getting together and worshiping on the Lord's Day at 10 o'clock in the morning. The weather forecast is not looking great right now. 70% chance of rain, so we will probably be inside at the Deer Creek Overlook building at the 4-H camp, because I don't think the weather's going to be friendly for being outside. But we will keep an eye on it, and we will make an official decision as late as we can, because if we do have decent weather, we do want to be outside. But hope to see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. If not, I hope to see you back here Monday morning as we continue our Psalms in the mornings on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. Have a blessed day in the Lord.